and body extract.
Okay, welcome back. Here to wrap up the show with Jeff Deist. Jeff is Congressman Ron Paul's chief of staff. He's a golfing buddy of mine and just a good friend in general. He's our go-to person whenever we're talking about big government, et cetera, because Jeff is right in the thick of it, for lack of better terms. You know, people have often said, why do you talk about government when the show really is, you know, it's entitled The Corlin Economics Report? And the reason is because I feel that politics and investing are very, very closely related. You know, it's kind of like one represents the left hand and one represents the right hand. Jeff, would you agree with that?
I would, Alan. You know, you don't hear this phrase very often anymore, but people used to use the term political economy almost as a subject area to study in college or something like that. But, unfortunately, in America, they are deeply intertwined. I think that's a big part of our problem.
Oh, boy, there's no question about that. And, you know, as your boss brought out in the debate on Thursday night, where I think he really did a really, really great job, you know, that is the big problem. And I think some of the other candidates also realize that. I think Mitt Romney's a good example of somebody who does realize that. But listen, we're not talking politics here necessarily. We're talking big government. A number of things happened this past week. You know, the one that caught my attention on Friday was the fact that the administration has said that birth control pills for women have to be given away free by all providers. And, boy, I find that to be interesting. You know, in a supposedly a free market economy, the administration is saying, give out them birth control pills, no copays, no anything. And I just, that one got my attention, and I don't particularly want you to comment on that. I just want listeners to know that that's just another piece of frosting on this very, very rotten cake. SOPA, they talked about that on the debate last night. We talked about the latest thing that came out dealing with the people who were picked up by the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation in New Zealand. I question that activity. I find it very, very interesting that liberals are really rallying against SOPA, as are most of the conservatives. But it would appear that somebody's going to try to push this legislation through. Another example of big government, Jeff. What's your opinion on that one?
There's actually some good news on this front. The Senate was scheduled to vote, I believe, this coming Tuesday on the Senate version of this. Mm-hmm. And now the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, has pushed that vote off. And I think there's a very good reason for that, and that is the unbelievable amount of grassroots activism that took place the middle of this week. As you know, Al, a lot of the big websites like Google, Craigslist, Wikipedia, and some mm-hmm. others had a blackout day on Wednesday on their websites to protest this, and people had to click through and learn more about SOPA. The Hill, both the Senate and House side, every member of Congress received hundreds and hundreds of phone calls that day. Mm-hmm. So it was a great, great example of grassroots activism. But what's encouraging about this is I think it is sort of bringing back what used to be a very libertarian streak amongst the tech community. Back in the 90s, when America was really booming in software, a lot of the people involved in that industry didn't want the government to leave the Internet alone and leave software alone. And as an example of that, Microsoft, even when it was a very large company, didn't start lobbying, didn't even have a lobbyist until, you know, fairly recently in their history. So hopefully, you know, we're getting back to that, and people who understand the power of the Internet and don't want governments anywhere, including our own government, interfering with it are really starting to wake up. You know, I've worked on and off for Ron here in Washington over a number of years, and I would say this is one of the biggest organized protests I've ever seen.
Find it interesting that the Wall Street Journal, in an op-ed on, I believe it was Thursday of last week, Wednesday or Thursday of last week, came out rather strongly in favor of SOPA. And I guess my question is, why would they do that?
Well, it's amazing what people will accept in terms of combating privacy or even under some sort of a strange version of property rights. Obviously, there are differing viewpoints amongst libertarians and conservative folks about intellectual property. But if you read Stephen Kinsella, an attorney in Dallas, he writes some very, very strong, makes some very strong arguments against intellectual property from a libertarian perspective. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, I think Wall Street Journal's reputation is suffering, and deservedly so. that the Wall Street Journal is about is a business magazine. It's not a capitalism or free market magazine. There's a big difference because, you know, business and government are wedded at the hip at this point in America.
That is something that is very, very detrimental for the economy. I mean, with all of the regulations, with all of the big government, which is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, that we have right now, it is very detrimental to business. And to me, it is absolutely amazing that the other side of the aisle, i.e. the Democrats and more of the Republicans, don't understand that. It's incredibly detrimental to business.
Well, one industry where America is still at the very top, if not supreme, is the web and software.
Sure.
You know, hardware is now being produced cheaper overseas. You know, we're not selling as many PCs, that sort of thing, with the exception, of course, of the iPads and the mobile devices. But, you know, if there's one area in terms of jobs and industry where, for God's sake, let's keep the government out and let's keep being an innovator and somebody at the top of the heap, it's tech. So hopefully we're going to kill this SOPA thing before it gets a chance to go anywhere.
One thing I want to stress to listeners, and every time I talk about this, I bring up this point, and that is Big Al is certainly not saying it's okay to break the law. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying big government, it's not their place to go in and handle this. It's the place of the law enforcement agencies. We don't need big government coming in. And, for example, in the case of this thing in New Zealand, and I'm not condoning what those guys were doing at all, but the New Zealand authorities should have arrested those guys, okay? And then whether or not they were incarcerated prior to trial or out on bail or whatever, it doesn't matter. But that should not have been the FBI agents. We don't need any more of this. Jeff, let's switch subject. Let's go over a little bit to Senate Bill, I believe it's 510, has to do with giving the government more say in agricultural affairs. I'm against it. What does Jeff Dice think?
Well, we saw what a great job the federal government did with its ag programs during the Great Depression when people were paid to grow, you know, certain crops that were then left to rot by railroad tracks, et cetera, while other parts of the country experienced hunger.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't need to get into a situation where, like the Soviet Union, we try to have centralized planning of crops and prices and that sort of thing. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, farm subsidies have been sacrosanct in America for a long, long time, and hopefully that day is coming to an end. But what we really need is freer farming, and we need to allow things like industrial hemp to be grown. We need to allow people to produce, you know, unpasteurized milk and sell it locally if that's what they care to do. There's nothing magic about ag that makes it work better with government management as opposed to, you know, market forces.
I want you to tell me one thing in this entire universe that works better with government management. Just one, that's all.
Well, a lot of people make the argument that national defense is the ultimate public good that can only be provided by government. That's I'll leave that to people who are smarter than me.
Your boss made another good point on that issue last night on the debate, you know, when he was talking about the huge debt problem in the United States and the money that we're spending in parts of the world where they don't even want us and they don't even need us. And I agree with that 100%. And I think that's a good point. I suppose, well, in the Constitution, if I'm not mistaken, it says, first and foremost, the federal government is to provide for a national defense, right?
That is an enumerated power, definitely.
And that's where we ought to be. Absolutely no question about it. Jeff, any final thoughts?
No, but I hope you get some warmer weather out there on the West Coast so you can play golf, Al.
Pretty tough to do. It's about 23 degrees outside right now. I cannot tell you how cold it is. But the little blonde lady and our pooch are out on the golf course right now, and the pooch is frolicking around. Hey, you guys out there, I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been a fun one to put together. Again, if you're anywhere near Vancouver, British Columbia this Sunday, drop by the Cambridge House International Investment Conference and say hello.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. I have Jeff Deist on the line with me right now. Jeff is a gentleman who got his training as a tax attorney. He is now the chief of staff for Congressman Ron Paul. Everybody knows who the congressman is. And I wanted to get Jeff's opinion on a couple of issues. Everybody thinks that big government is the only way that our economy is going to grow. My favorite socialist, Paul Krugman, you know, has written numerous op-eds about how bad the Republicans are because they don't really seem to be for the entitlement program. They seem to be for standing on your own 2 feet and making it on your own, etc. They seem to be for limited government, and he doesn't seem to like that either. Well, it's a proven fact that large government is detrimental for economic health, okay? The level of economic freedom in the United States since 2007 has dropped dramatically, and the U.S. Economy has gotten sicker and sicker and sicker since 2007 as we've gotten more government regulations and as 40% of our gross domestic product in the United States is now tied to one form of government or another. That is clearly, clearly wrong. And I got to tell you, I don't understand how people can buy into that. Jeff, do you get it?
Well, I do get it, Al, and we're headed in the wrong direction. But I'll give you an anecdote. Some of your listeners might be familiar with Anthony Bourdain's travel show.
Okay.
Well, he was recently interviewing a bunch of young American expat kids, and by kids I mean 20-somethings,
yeah,
in Singapore.
Yeah.
And these kids were over there opening entrepreneurial-type businesses. He was asking them why, and they were explaining to him, well, there's so much economic activity here, there's so much energy, unemployment's very low. It's not like in the United States where a young 20-something gets out of college and has a very hard time getting a job.
Right.
And, of course, as many people know, Singapore is ranked up much higher than America, at least in terms of economic freedom. There are those other kinds of freedoms, of course. But what was so interesting was that these 20-something expatriates, all kids who had grown up in America, most of them were in the interview were of Asian descent. Their parents or grandparents had come to America from Asia. And their parents and grandparents were very upset. They're saying, like, you know, we struggled. We worked so hard to come to America, to come to the West from, you know, Vietnam or China, wherever, you know, Korea, wherever. And now their kids or their grandkids are going back to Asia, which is causing them some consternation. And it's very simple. We've seen it throughout human history, which is that people and good people and capital go to the most economically free places. And it's always been such. And unfortunately, America seems hell-bent on repelling capital and good people.
When you look at the four healthiest economic environments in the world right now, if you want to gauge that by economic freedom, strangely enough, Singapore is in the top four, Hong Kong is in the top four, and then Australia and New Zealand. Why would you want to attempt to advance yourself in an environment that was really counterproductive to advancement? I mean, the philosophy right now, Jeff, seems to be one of, if you're successful on your own, you must be some kind of criminal. And if you're successful on your own and you're not a criminal, you need to give a whole bunch of your money away to somebody who isn't successful. Income redistribution. I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd see this, but that's the direction that the current administration, anyway, would like to see this country go because, quote unquote, it's the humane thing to do.
Right, and we've seen both parties do this throughout, relentlessly throughout the 20th century, where spending has increased incrementally, exponentially. It's always gone up, 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 and now we're seeing federal spending as a percentage of GDP as high as it's ever been, save for the period during World War II. It's like sucking the oxygen out of the air. Where economic liberty contracts, then economic activity contracts, and you know there's no shortage of examples in human history for this. So I'm sorry that so many Americans seem to have accepted economic fallacies, or they're just plain economic illiterate, and so they're more willing to be duped by political demagoguery. But it's a tough situation right now with the degree of economic illiteracy in America.
A lot of my friends are saying, you know, Al, you and your colleagues are saying right now that the enemy is the government. And we don't believe that's true. We think that that's an absolutely erroneous philosophy to have. We are convinced that the government is trying to do the right thing. I don't fall into that camp at all.
Well, I agree. I mean, to some degree, even in the most totalitarian society, the government is a reflection of what the people will put up with. I mean, there's degrees of that. But certainly here in America, we have more freedom and more ability to affect our government. So to the extent our government has become increasingly statist, that's our fault. I mean, we have to look in the mirror in the morning and say, hey, did we want those free, quote-unquote, free prescription drugs so we didn't care when they passed a big prescription drug spending bill? Did we not care when they decided to spend, you know, trillions of dollars in Afghanistan and Iraq? Did we not care when the Republicans were raising spending 5, 6, 10% every year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the kind of things we have to ask ourselves because we all bear personal responsibility.
I have a listener by the name of Bruce who lives in Ottawa, and he brought up that point very well. He said, you know, the baby boomers, people like, and he puts himself into that category, and I'm definitely in that category. To a very large extent, we let it happen. We really didn't voice our opinions as perhaps as vocally as we should when things like going into Iraq, going into Afghanistan, getting involved in Pakistan, etc., when all of that happened. We didn't voice our opinions vocally to enough of a degree when the predatory capitalism was going on, and the perpetrators themselves basically walked away not having to pay any restitution or whatever for their actions, but in fact they were rewarded. The United States right now, I think to a large extent, is sitting on their hands. The citizens are sitting on their hands, not all of them, but they're not doing anything. And you know what? Something has to be done. I'm hoping that come November, something will be done. But I don't know, man. It's an interesting game, isn't it?
Well, certainly Ron Paul's ideas are gaining wider traction.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, that kind of thinking could go a long way towards helping us down the road against an, you know, overreaching government. But it's you know, it's a slow process, and we got ourselves stuck over the period of decades. I'm not sure we can get unstuck, you know, in a year or two. But if there's going to be a period of austerity, there's going to be a period of economic hardship, I say let's get it over with. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. And not be wallowing in social democracy and virtually no growth or economic opportunity for the next 20 years.
I don't think that's going to happen. If your boss has anything to say about it, I don't think that's going to happen because that simply is not the kind of person he is. And I find it interesting that other conservatives aren't willing to stand up and voice that opinion, because I have to tell you, I believe that more people really do feel that way. But the only guy who's got a clear plan, in my opinion, and the only guy who, as my very liberal daughter said, you know, she said, if Ron Paul runs, I'll vote for him. And I said, Kim, why would you do that? You know, and I'm saying that because you're a dyed-in-the-wool liberal. Why would you do that? And she looked me straight in the eye, and she said, Dad, because he's never changed his stance on anything, and that shows that the man is incredibly honest. And I second that 100%. Stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back.
Did you know that thousands of industrial toxins, including aluminum, heavy metals like mercury and lead, and even nuclear radiation, have contaminated the air, food, and water supply and are lodged inside your body? These contaminants are poisoning your body from the inside out. No, the government doesn't care, nor will they save you. Do nothing, and these accumulated toxins may slowly lead to degenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, heart disease, or cancer. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Liquid Zeolite is the best natural all-round remedy to safely and effectively remove all kinds of toxins from your body. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, heavy metal poisoning, memory loss, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe and amazing. Try a Liquid Zeolite today.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables, vegetables, and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with wisefoodstorage.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. I want to say that my next guest, Congressman Ron Paul, is, in my humble opinion, and I know a lot of your opinions, one of the greatest living American patriots. He's done more to increase the awareness of people, not just in the United States, but around the world, about the positive aspects of our country, and also about the things that really need to be changed. He's one of the few politicians whose actions are definitely not directed toward getting reelected, but to making the United States a better place. You know, in spite of the fact that the congressman's actions aren't directed towards getting reelected, nobody can get him out of office. Congressman, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to chat with our listeners.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Okay, got a question. I personally believe that there's a very strong correlation between political activities, both internationally and in the United States, and the direction of the financial markets. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I think the financial markets are a good technique of knowing what's going on. A lot of times if I get up in the morning and I look at the financial markets and they discount world events rather quickly, you know, I think the financial markets discount political affairs around the world instantaneously. So you can actually get the news by watching the Dow Jones and the interest rates.
You know, I would agree with that 100%. Well, let's talk a little bit about that in the United States. You know, we have a situation here that I think is literally almost despicable. I'm talking right now about the complete inability of both sides of the aisle to agree on a budget proposal, or to agree on a budget. And, you know, and the thing has gotten to be, in my opinion, totally, totally out of hand emotionally. I mean, on the one hand, you now have Nancy Pelosi saying the GOP plan is a war on women. You have many Democrats saying that, you know, the shutdown is the equivalent of bombing innocent civilians. And Jesse Jackson's comparing it to a civil war. Come on, isn't that a little bit crazy?
Yeah, and you know, I have a little book coming out shortly, and I have one short chapter on demagogues. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're talking about is demagoguery. You know, they use these terms and they blast people and pick up little things. It's for political benefit. It has nothing to do with solving problems. So they demagogue the issues and take it and they try to, no matter how serious you are and how sincere you are trying to solve problems, you know, I might be for the gold standard. Well, why do you hate poor people? You know, things like that. So, yes, you've described the problems quite accurately, and unfortunately that's what most people are doing there. I think the demagoguery is motivated by power. They first want power, but they rationalize and they finally come around to thinking that, well, if I'm in power and I do the right things and compromise the right way, I will do good for the country. So they don't see themselves as doing evil, because they see themselves as you know, not Puritans, because they know they have to compromise, but ultimately the driving force is power, and once the power is the driving force, they sell out rather quickly any principle that they might have.
You know, I learned a long time ago that one of the most dangerous aspects of human nature is when people start to believe that everything that they're doing is the result of the fact that, you know, that they are, in fact, the prettiest baby in the nursery. And I wonder sometimes if a lot of politicians don't really fall into that category, you know. You know, they assume a role of tremendous power in the United States, you know, and they kind of view that as being the ultimate blessing, and consequently they really can't do anything wrong. I cannot believe that some of the actions of some of our politicians don't stem from that. I mean, I'm hearing some absolutely ridiculous things coming out of the mouths of some of the folks, I mean, not only in Washington, D.C., but even on the state level. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, and you have different types. You know, the liberal tends to think that everybody's an idiot, they can't take care of themselves, and they won't take care of themselves, and they want to take care of them. And I had one liberal tell me once when I was challenging on this, he says, you know, we need to do this because the people are stupid, you know. So that now you talk about arrogance. But then there are others on the social side that, well, we're going to tell you what you can do with your life and your body and what you can eat and drink and all these other kind of things, because you don't know how to take care of yourself. So they only know what's best for other people. But if you know, even with the horrors of the arrogance of the legislature, I think it's that many times worse when it comes to people who think they know what the interest rate should be and what the money supply should be, and that they can do central economic planning. And of course, I'm talking about our good friends at the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
Now that is, and they do believe, you know, they really believe that the markets are incapable. The people, whether it's in the monetary issue or the legislative issues, they don't have an understanding, and they do not have confidence in freedom, so they can't trust it. So therefore, they're necessary. People need them to sort these things out, because you wouldn't want unbridled free markets. I mean, people would suffer so much. There'd be no regulation whatsoever. You know, they use those arguments, so therefore there's a necessity for people to have them take care of them. And then that's always extended to foreign policy as well. You know, the poor slobs around the world who can't take care of themselves, if we only go in there and teach them how to be good Democrats. Did you see the other day that one of the first things they did for the rebels in Libya, I think they had them set up a central bank.
Yeah, you know.
That is just unbelievable.
You know, you made a comment in a discussion that you and I had a couple, 3 years ago, and my comment to you was really a question. My question was, so Congressman, you're not really for welfare. And I said, you know, I can't agree with you, because I think we'd have rioting in the streets if you cut welfare, you know. And you started laughing, and you said, Corlin, you're not very bright, are you? And I said, okay. And your comment was, don't you have any faith in your fellow man? Don't you think people would rise up and take care of each other? You know, I think that's a thing. If people were left to their own free will, that's a thing that many Americans, I think, and many people around the world forget would happen. We'll take care of ourselves, mm-hmm. right?
The people who need something and need to be taken care of, when you impose it by force through government regulations, you really destroy wealth. So they're the destroyers. If you allow people to assume and are forced to assume responsibility, then they do it through productive effort. And history has shown that the freer society, the wealthier the society, the bigger the middle class, and, you know, it is only when the government gets too big and too large and they do too much monetary manipulation do you wipe out the middle class and do you create the welfare needs. So what do the people who are the bleeding hearts, they say, well, we haven't given the poor enough, so then they start printing more money and handing it out. But lo and behold, the welfare system benefits the rich. You know, they pump all this money in there to save the economy. Mm-hmm. All it did was raise prices for the poor, and I guess a few people made some money on Wall Street, even in the last couple of years, like billions of dollars.
We're
wiping out the middle class, and the people who voted, and it was both sides of the aisle, you know, for TARP funds and endorsed all that bailout, they really thought they were saving humanity, you know, that it was absolutely necessary to do this, and that we who opposed it were totally heartless. So in many ways, we have an educational problem, and that's where I think you and others have done such a good job in trying to get people to understand the fundamentals.
Congressman, I've got about a minute left here in this particular segment, then we'll bring you back in the next one. But I have a question for you. The co-host on my radio show about 5 years ago made a very, very interesting comment, and actually this was a comment in your presence that when we were doing a video with you at one of the conferences. And Paul's comment was, one of the biggest disincentives in the United States is, in fact, welfare. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Yeah.
And our whole country is on welfare because we've been able to print money and spend it and go into debt. So that is the big welfare system. We've become totally dependent, and we've given up on production.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're in such a crisis and why it's coming to an end as well.
It's coming to an end. It's getting nothing but worse. And I personally believe that, I mean, there is a very logical reason that gold is approaching $1,500 an ounce today, or yesterday, I should say, and that silver is over 40 bucks. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Congressman Ron Paul.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. you can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing our discussion with an American hero, certainly in my opinion, Congressman Ron Paul. We're going to get into the comments that the press is making right now about gold, silver, U.S. dollar being the currency of last resort, that perhaps changing in the very near future. Let's see what Congressman Paul thinks about that. First of all, comment, if you would, on the direction of gold and silver right now. We are in a bull market, both in gold and silver, that is almost unprecedented. As we're recording, silver is over $40 an ounce. Gold is approaching $1,500 an ounce. In your opinion, Congressman, why is that happening?
Well, you know, I think of gold as being relatively stable. Mm-hmm. You can store value in gold. It's not rigid, but it's stable. I use the word the gold price is going up just like everybody else goes, but I always remind myself it isn't that, and you know it's the dollar going down, and what kind of a mess we have in Washington. The national debt is going up this year, $2 trillion. There's no way we can borrow that much money. Revenues are going way down because the economy is so weak. What else is left but printing money? So the value of the money has to go down, and it's astounding. A lot of us who worry about this and predict it for a long, many years, it's pretty amazing that when it finally comes, you get, wow, you know, I didn't know it was going to be quite this bad, and how much worse is it going to get? You almost think that I wished we weren't right, you know, about this. But no, it's telling us that it's very, very serious. And quite frankly, I think it's just starting because, remember, gold for a period of time sort of tried to disprove some of our theories, like from 1980 up until 1999 for 20 years, dollar price of gold didn't go up. But I don't think that means there wasn't inflation. The money supply kept increasing, but the psychology of the market was such that they weren't worried enough and they didn't discount it. So right now I think this is sort of a catch-up. And then there's not only the catch-up, but what we're doing currently with QE2 and probably QE3 coming, but also what they expect to happen in the future. Remember, in 1971, there was a lot of catch-up. Gold was artificially held at $35 an ounce. It broke down. The Brentwoods broke down. Gold became legalized, and then there was this huge surge. Probably did some overshooting, but it was catch-up, too. So it isn't like, well, the money supply goes up 10% this year, gold prices will go up 10%, and all prices will go up. That's not the way it works. It works in fits and starts, you know, and I think that's what we're witnessing. But more and more people are getting frightened, and markets very often tend to overshoot. They undershoot and they overshoot, but I don't think they're on the verge of overshooting yet. I think the dollar has a long way down. And then there's also the big concern that I have, and what drives me and motivates me, is the fact that ultimately you can send the currency to zero. Now, that is big trouble. We could do that to ourselves if we don't wise up.
You know, I think it's a very, very interesting point. You know, that's just kind of more gasoline on the fire that, for lack of better terms, of this the financial turmoil that we're in right now. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I know how we got there, but I sure don't understand the rationale behind it. You know, I have another interesting question along these lines for you. About 3 or 4 years ago, the Chinese government began, mainland China, the government began encouraging gold and silver as a medium of savings for its citizens. About a year later, lo and behold, surprise, surprise, China became the world's, or assumed the status of the world's largest gold producer. Okay. Shortly after that, China began talking about the need for the currency of last resort changing from the U.S. dollar to something else, okay, perhaps some type of basket or whatever, but that the currency of last resort be an asset-based currency, for lack of better terms, and there was talk about that being gold. I find that to be very, very interesting, given the fact that today China is the world's largest producer of gold, and they could be, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but they're also one of the largest importers of gold. What's that all about?
We're still, at least theoretically, our numbers that we report, that we hold a lot more gold than anybody else, and it's 2 or 3 times more than Germany, and China's down. But it's also pretty well recognized that we probably have less than we claim, and China probably has a lot more than they list. Because, like you say, they mine, and I think they buy everything from their miners. Everything they mine, they keep. And also, they have been known to, you know, when the IMF and other banks dump, remember a few years ago the central banks were so wise that they were dumping gold when it was $300, $400, and $500 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And countries like India and China and others were actually buying it. But this is the shift from the West to the East. The West is economically dying. And there's more capitalism coming out of the Far East, and even out of China. Nobody wants to say they're capitalists, and they have a lot of problems. But you know, you can invest over there, you can build a business, you can make profits. You don't have the burdens that you have in the United States for starting a business, and they may well devise the world currency rather than the IMF or reviving the dollar. We're incapable of getting our house in order and, you know, to restore the dollar as the number one currency. So somebody in the Far East, maybe the Japanese and the Chinese and Indonesians or somebody will get together. But I think the world will eventually go. They have throughout history, they always have to resort to something of value, and they
sure.
give up on the paper. So, yes, I think they may very well be on to something, and they're doing some pretty good planning. We're foolish enough. We spend all this money, and we have the military power, so we think we can throw our weight around and protect and get our oil by invading these countries. China, they work, save their money, take their money, and they invest. So they're investing in places like Iran and different places. So they're taking care of themselves, but they're doing it through peaceful means, where we're doing it through militarism and at the same time undermining our currency.
I think it's absolutely amazing what's going on right now with our involvement, you know, first in Iraq, and you and I discussed that way back when. My comment to you was, Congressman, what are we doing over there? And again, you made the comment, you're not very bright, Corlin. Come on, it's all about oil. And I said, well, you know, you're probably right. But then, you know, we go into the meaningful involvement that's happening right now in Libya. I think probably the next step may very well be doing something in some of the other countries over there, perhaps Syria, etc. I mean, that's just a powder keg waiting to take off. But your philosophy is a little bit different from most politicians in that you're saying, we need to get out of there. And you know, and one of the things that we need to do is we need to suspend a lot of our foreign aid. You know, it's the proverbial hole in the ocean that you're pouring dollar bills into that you're never going to get back.
My position is slightly different than that and maybe too radical for some people because I don't want to get rid of a lot of foreign aid. I want to get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
Because if you get rid of a lot of it or most of it or something, then you always hold that loop, hold out for a loophole and say, oh, okay, but then under special circumstances, we have to do it. Then the argument gets back to, well, if you do it for this country, why not this country?
Right.
You like this country, but you don't like the other. Just take the principle that our government does not have the right and authority constitutionally or morally to take money from people in this country and give it to other countries.
Right.
But if we have a free and prosperous country and you happen to have a special interest in another country, there should be no reason why you can't take your funds and spend them and go there or do whatever you want. So that is a form of foreign aid that I don't think is bad at all. In fact, it's very good. But once the government gets into it, my claim about foreign aid is, for the most part, is taking money from poor people in rich countries and giving the money to rich people in poor countries. And we take money here, and the bleeding hearts here think, oh, well, we got to send these to these African countries and help these poor people.
Yeah.
But, you know, we send them food and money, and the warlords take it, and they use them as weapons, and it never solves their problem.
You know, it's interesting. I have a friend who I collaborate with frequently, and he's about as liberal as you're going to get. And I mentioned to him your comment about suspending foreign aid at one time, and he said, I have to totally agree with Congressman Paul on that one, because he said all that money's getting totally, totally misdirected. Any plans at all for 2012?
Oh, I have lots of plans for 2012.
Proving your
golf
game.
I'm not so sure exactly which ones. And as far as campaigning goes for another office, I have not made that decision, but
okay.
I do know that shortly I will be. In the next month or two, I'll have to make some decision. I was sort of pleased that the other potential candidates have decided not to announce early.
Right.
Last go around it was, and it was a long, long drawn out effort. But you know, I felt like we accomplished actually more than I believed we would.
Yep.
So this go around, if I do it, it'll be a little bit shorter and hopefully beneficial, and it'll be very serious if we do decide to.
Well, listen, you've got all the support that I can possibly give on that. Congressman Ron Paul, it has been a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.